Dobar dan svima. Hello. Welcome to Lost and Found in Serbia. I am Evan Trace, here back with you after a long break. And unfortunately, it's a break that is now going to become somewhat permanent. This is probably going to be the last episode of this podcast for those of you who have followed along. It turns out that life has meandered in its own way and is leading me and my family back to the United States after more than 20 years abroad, my children having grown up overseas, and after having spent 4 lovely years in Serbia, in Belgrade, working and living through COVID, through the good times, through the bad. And it has been a wonderful experience. Both the people we've met, places we've seen, the food we've eaten, the wine we've drunk, all of it has really culminated in an experience that will not be forgotten. And if this is indeed my last overseas posting, at least for a long time, I think we went out on a high note. I feel good about the people I met, the work that I've been able to do here, the fun that I've had, the tennis I've played, the various and sundry cultural events that I've been able to participate in. And frankly, it's just been a very vivid experience. And maybe it's just because of where I am in my life, heading into middle age. My kids are getting older, but Belgrade and Serbia have offered us a lot. I enjoyed exploring the places and people, enjoyed doing this podcast when I made time for it. After COVID ended, things got busy and it dropped off my radar a little bit, but were I to have stayed here, I think I would have tried to pick it back up because it's a great way, it has been a great way for me to reach out, to meet new people and learn about new things. So it's with a heavy heart that I tell you that I will be closing down the podcast, at least for the time being after this episode. But since it was the last episode, I thought I'd do something both special and also quite personal. And instead of bringing on a guest from Serbia, I thought I would have a chat with my wife. Tavos Begenjeva is her name, and she also has been an explorer of Serbia with me and on her own. She has her own website, globallady.com, globalady.com, and has done a lot on social media and her explorations of Serbia, her explorations of Serbian wine. She had a Learning Serbia Instagram page. I'm sure it's still up. But I invited her to sit down with me and chat about the things that we will miss about Serbia and Belgrade and the things that we won't miss so that we could kind of check each other's impressions and maybe feed off each other's thoughts and emotions at this moment. We didn't tell each other what our lists were before, although I think some of them probably were easy for us to guess. But it was a lively conversation. It was, I think, a fitting end to this adventure and hopefully a fitting end to this podcast. So thank you for listening. Thank you for the time that you've given to this podcast and to the people that I've been able to interview. And without further delay, I bring you my conversation with my wife. Tavos Begenjeva. Welcome to the Lost and Found in Serbia podcast. You're also known as my spouse, but also known as the Global Lady. And thank you for joining me on this, what may turn out to be the final podcast of Lost and Found in Serbia, because we are moving out of Serbia with heavy hearts.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your show, husband, Evan Trace. I'm honored.
Well, it's an honor for me to have you because you've supported me in putting this podcast together from the beginning. And I'm excited that this will be a cross-platform podcast that may make it onto Global Lady as well.
Yeah, maybe.
If it goes well. But since this could be the final Lost and Found in Serbia podcast, we wanted to do a session on what things we're going to miss about Serbia and probably Belgrade in particular, because we've lived in Belgrade for the last 4 years. And maybe talk about a few things that we won't miss so much so that we can be balanced in the way that we talk about Serbia. I will say before we start that we don't have
ranked orders here, right?
No, no.
We're just going to talk about some of the key highlights of the good, the bad, the ugly, but probably less of the ugly.
I'm going to tell you what I'll miss like the most first, though.
Let's do that.
All right. Let's
stick with that. All right. So since you're my guest on this particular episode, I would like to ask you your first thing that you will miss in a week when you leave Serbia. What will you miss in the coming months and years?
I have a list here.
Well, just give me one. Don't forget. Start with one.
All right. So the first one, as you know, I'm a foodie. So the first thing I'm going to miss so much is Börek at Kalinic Piazza. I mean, yeah. So at that Kalinic market that we first saw, there's a Börek place. I think it was my first Börek in town, and it's still my favorite. And it's just that whole combination of going to Kalinic, buying some things, and then stopping by at that Börek place, and then having a nice, delicious, crunchy, and soft at the same time Börek with a little bit of yogurt. I'm going to miss that a lot.
So this is kind of a double. So you're saying both Kalinic and
Börek. Yeah, it's a combo. No, I think it's like Börek at Kalinic. It's like, it's a bit more complex than just one thing.
But Kalinic is something you also miss.
Yes, absolutely. Right? Yes, yes. It's a combo. Kalinic and Börek at Kalinic.
We never did quite figure out what the difference was between Börek and pita.
That's true. Well, we were told that it's the same thing. It's just when you go and buy things, you don't say može börek, you say može pizza, pita or whatever. Like, can you give me a pita instead of
börek? Yeah, I would guess if someone had to put a gun to my head, I would guess that a pita is a piece of börek. Like, it's like a cut slice of it. That's what I would go with. Yeah. It's probably wrong. So. But you listeners out there who know, you can be chuckling to yourselves about how we never figured out.
You foreigners.
But I will reflect on that. I also agree. I love the Börek. That was my favorite place. I remember actually when I first came to visit Belgrade before we moved and I was checking it out, I took a picture. I was there ate it and I took a picture of it and sent it to you and said, this market is really cool and this Börek you're really going to like.
And you're right. I love it. I'm going to miss it.
And Kalinic, I think everybody says that it's, you know, one of the more expensive markets, and but it's a pleasure to go there. It's
always
fun.
I think Kalinic is one of the top like sightseeing in Belgrade for some reason. I mean, you have like Sava right there, which is kind of one of the main landmarks of Belgrade, and Kalinic is just this kind of old. But it has a lot of charm, lots of life inside. And if you live there or go there regularly, you get to know who has the best kaimak, who has the best, you know, for me, like Börek. Or I also know the lady I can find my coriander all the time.
Yes, coriander. Of course. Who has the coriander?
Who has the coriander? I know who. So all of that kind of really becomes part of your joy of life and therefore joy of Belgrade. I think that's going to be sorely missed.
Yeah, and I remember we lived in Vračar for a year or maybe a little bit more, and that was, you know, walkable distance, and that really was nice to be able to just sort of walk down there with your cart and get your food and see people along the way, pick up a bottle of wine, go to Charlo, which was Charlo, our favorite bakery right near there.
Puter, my favorite little stop for like cappuccino and a croissant. Lots of places in Vračar. I mean, in general, Vračar is together. Börek, Kalinic, Vračar, I'm going to miss very much. I mean, Vračar is like old, and I can understand when some people go there and they're like, I don't understand why people like the place. But I think you have to live there or you have to go there regularly to really love it because it's small and tiny. You just kind of, you know, discover really cute cafes and kafanas, and you just slowly fall in love. You just keep going there.
It's true. And there's always new places and new things opening up. Yeah. But I guess on the dark side of that, or I'd say the flip side of that, and we're not to the things we won't miss yet, but parking in Vračar or to go to Kalinic, not the best.
No. Yeah, I try to ignore that side.
Yeah. All right, I'm just trying to balance
thinking about the Börek all the time when I'm parking.
No, that's a good idea. And actually, one thing that we are doing as we leave is sometimes we have extra things that we need to give away. And there's those folks who are in the back of Kalinic who are selling, secondhand clothing. And they're a fine place to donate things as well.
Absolutely. I love that area. I go through that too. And I actually have, I know somebody who constantly finds awesome, you know, jackets or something there. And it's kind of nice. It's like all in one. It's a flea market and a vegetable and fruit market. And you have toiletries. You have everything there. It's lovely.
Right. And since you come from a bazaar type country, yes. Turkmenistan, and I've lived in Turkmenistan and other places, having a bazaar, which was what we called it.
Yes, yeah.
Is something that we both, I think, really relate to.
I miss that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
We won't have that in the United States of America.
Yeah, there's some markets, I guess, you know.
Yeah, maybe we start one.
Stuff. Hey, yeah. Kalinich in the US.
All right, so I'm going to go with one of mine now.
All right, go for it.
Mine is, I will miss the Belgrade and Serbia, but Belgrade sports scene. Because as you know, I love to play tennis. I like to play basketball. I like talking about sports, doing sports, especially tennis. And it's partly, of course, because of the number one men's tennis player in the world. Is from here, of course. Mm-hmm. I won't say his name.
I think everyone knows.
But I've, you know, joined clubs, I go to different clubs, there's tournaments, there's different kinds of ways of playing and having competitive tennis at different levels, which we haven't found in a lot of other places. I don't know if we'll find it in the US. And I like the fact that I go down to my tennis club and I know everybody there and they talk about who beat whom and who has been playing well lately. And that kind of thing has really been nice. And I think that's special here in Belgrade and potentially all the way across Serbia, which is that people engage in sports throughout their lives. Mm-hmm. And you'll see,
yes,
you know, you'll also see older people join getting at the park and playing football or you know, doing
jogging,
different sports things, right?
Suntanning at Ada. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm personally inspired by the sports culture here. It kind of made me love sports more because everyone you go to, women, men, kids, everyone, even, you know, foreigners coming in here really get into it, you know, and I've never really kind of was interested in even soccer before coming here. Not that mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of soccer, just you kind of hear people and definitely made me like sports more.
Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we go to your next one on your list?
All right. Next one on my list is Kalemegdan. And I have to say also Kalemegdan and Dorchel area in general. I think that Kalemegdan was one of the first things that I thought was really, you know, amazing when I went there with the kids and we were, you know, overlooking the rivers and then there's a park and then you just walk to Dorchel, to the Knez Mihailovich shopping center. The whole combination is really amazing. And I've been to some places, I can think of, there's a place in like Lisbon, I think, also like a palace that kind of overlooking mm-hmm. A city and it's beautiful, parks, etc. But you had to pay, you know, like a lot of places like this, you have to pay to go in, which is fine. But the fact that this one amazing place is just open for everyone and it's just beautiful, I know that I'll miss this thing, you know. We sometimes go there. We have a dog Parky. We take him for a walk, get a cup of coffee, enjoy the scenery, and then right there is the center. We just walk everywhere. I love that. I'm gonna miss that.
I agree. I think you actually kind of stole one from my list, which is fine. It's good that we agree on some things. And my office happens to be, you know, 100 meters from Kalemegdan, and I like to jog there. Mm-hmm. And I also like just walking there. There's tennis courts there. I love those tennis courts.
Oh, yes, tennis courts.
Right on one of the walls, you know, the major walls. And that's, and when you're playing tennis there, you're just like, you know, this is it. When it's a beautiful day and you have the Kalemegdan Fortress next to you and you're playing, it's just great. Running there and then, you know, like you said, walking right over to Dorchel. And that was another one of mine, is just Dorchel in general. You know, I know some people, you know, especially people from the other side of the river, you know, might not like it as much, but I feel like it is the heart of the city. I mean, it's the old part of the city.
I agree.
The cafes, the bars, the restaurants, and the small kind of streets, and that vibe is just great. You can walk mm-hmm. around there and just spend your whole evening and, you know, just have a great time and be outside.
Yeah, and you can find something new every time you go there. And obviously, there's always new things opening up and unfortunately closing as well. But it just, the whole area is so charming. And it's just perfect enough in terms of size. You know, it's manageable. It's not too big. It has its charms because it's old. But there's obviously, there's new waterfront that we don't know yet still. That's just got built recently. But the Dorchel area, Kalle Magdan, is something really special.
I think you're right. I think it's unique. You're right. There's not many cities where right in the heart of the city, they have this big park that overlooks and the, you know, the fortress overlooking the river, you know, the two, you know, yeah, Sala and Danube coming stunning. Together. I mean, it is stunning.
And the park is so nice. It's huge. I'm always lost. You know me. I'm always like, where's the tennis courts? And I love that Mali Kalle Magdan restaurant. Shout out to that.
And I love, is that the kafana we go to? The
Mali Kalle Magdan? Yeah.
I've Mali Kalle Magdan. Spent a lot of time there, and my office has used it as a kind of secondary meeting spot at the Mali Kalle Magdan kafana.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it? Yours? My turn? Oh, it's my turn. Okay. Maybe I'll steal one of yours next. Well, actually, maybe I'll go with one that's more, it's less driven by place and geography. And we've talked about this before, which is especially in Belgrade, the kind of worldliness of the culture there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We talked about how people are engaged in, you know, the arts and literature, obviously in politics sometimes, for better or for worse. In sports, in science, and you have a sense, I've had a sense here more than other places I've worked, that all the people that I work with and then that I meet in town, you know, are interested in what's happening in the world, and they're kind of up to date and in a way that I don't know we'll find in the US, and we definitely, I don't think, experience as much in other places.
Yeah, I agree. So that's definitely one of mine as well.
Okay, I stole that
and
one.
I was I was trying to figure out how to like name it, title it or something, categorize it or something. But the word world was also in my mind. I think it's like the kind of view I think it's curiosity. It's really, I found people here in Belgradians. I don't know much about outside, but very, very curious constantly. Every time I say, hey, I'm from Turkmenistan or whatever, almost everyone has something to say about Turkmenistan, and that's very rare. You know, they'll be like, oh yeah, it's one of these, you know, stans. And or if I'm going somewhere and our son has like a Patriots or some kind of a American sports jersey, and almost everyone knows, oh yeah, that's whatever baseball team. Mm-hmm. How do you like it? Who do you like in it?
True.
It seems like whatever that you can, you know, open up about anything, and culture too, like you said, and arts, politics. Everyone, not only know about it, they're curious about it. They're kind of excited about talking to you about it. And I'm always kind of struck by that. Wow, that's really cool. We can sit down in a taxi and have an awesome conversation about politics, sports, or culture and arts.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good point. And again, we're kind of Belgrade centric because we're talking about where we've lived, and we're not talking necessarily about, you know, and Nišul Novi Sad as much, or the smaller towns, but maybe that will come up in one of our lists. But as far as cities go where you can feel like you can find your own niche, or people that like the things that you like, do the things that you do, or like you said, have sort of an understanding of a bunch of different things that are going on, I feel like this has been something special here.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of, again, it's inspired me to know more about the world.
All right, I think, it's your turn.
It's my turn, and that was definitely one of mine, so I have two left. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so this is a place, and it's Ada, Ada Tsiganlia. Mm-hmm. I think that's another place like Kalle Magdan. I thought, wow, this is so cool. This whole big island is just for people to enjoy their weekends, sports, families, whatever. I mean, you have tennis there, you have basketball courts, you have baseball field, mm-hmm. and a football, American football field, mm-hmm. soccer field. You can ride a bike there, swim the whole, you know, on the water, what do you call it, on the shore of, on the, what is the word? on the lake. There's cafes, restaurants, there's a water trampoline thing with Whippet or Whippet or whatever for kids.
We were there today.
There are hiking, you know, climbing, the wall climbing mm-hmm. thing. There's obstacle trees. And on the other side of the water, there are even more things that we haven't really even explored in all these
years. Yeah, more cafes and stuff. But I think
there's that like water
on the far
thing.
Side.
The other side.
There's golf too, we forgot to
golf,
say.
Golf, of course, there's also golf now. I mean, it's huge. And every time we go there, it's definitely crowded. And that's, again, hard to park, etc. But, you know, I forget about that right away because you just see everyone enjoying their times. You have lots of restaurants, great food, and our kids and ourselves enjoy the place so much.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Let's say out of 10 times you go to Ada, maybe one time it'll be like either too crowded or a little annoying. But most of the time, like today, for example, beautiful day, kids were having a great time on that bouncy Whippet thing on the water. Hang out, have some beers, go to the Kafana, go to a Chinese restaurant as we did today, and just hang out and enjoy. And you don't see that in a capital city anywhere where the recreation island, I guess you might call it.
Yeah, it's just so cool. And of course, you know, some teenagers or whatever could just go across and go to the mall too.
That's what.
And it's not that far if you bike. You can just get there by your bike. It's really, I think, a unique thing, another cool thing about Belgrade.
Definitely. And I will miss, we won't be living in a big city again, so we'll have recreation around. But the idea that city people all go together to this recreation place has another vibe to it, right?
Yes, it's like everyone is there. It's happening there for families especially.
I know that people, once they're apparently like turn 17 or 18, like Ada is no longer cool, but we're well beyond that as parents of kids who still like to run around and play sports. It's good for us.
Yeah, our kids haven't gotten there yet, thank goodness, because we enjoy the place.
So I'll take the next one, and this one will go beyond Belgrade, which is just driving around Serbia and like finding different spots and different cities with different historical, either monuments or ruins or just something special in each place, whether it's a monastery, whether it's a place known for its food. If you go out to, you know, to see the beautiful, if you go to Tara or if you go to out to the mountains, you find, you know, beautiful places where you can hang out, and there'll be kind of the kind of bed and breakfast type places where you can stay, and you know, they make your food and you kind of hang out in that area. And during COVID, I think, you know, when we couldn't do a lot of things, those kind of trips were really kind of important for
Savior.
Us. Even if we were just going to Fruška Gora, or if you know, if we were going to go to Uvac, you know, those kinds of places were, you know, both interesting, different obviously than Belgrade, beautiful. And you could have some local food and wine and really enjoy it. So I thought exploring Serbia by car was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So you're saying like Serbia.
Well, I'm trying to get out of Belgrade here with our list.
Okay. But I agree. So I think driving.
Lost and found in Serbia,
yes,
not lost and found in Belgrade.
It's true. I agree. Driving, though. It's like driving inside Serbia.
That's road trips in
Serbia. Okay, I can take that. I agree. Yeah, I think that's really cool. The fact that you can just go not so far, even, you know, maximum
two, three hours
and get to the border and find something new is really cool. The nature, of course, is amazing. Wineries, as you know, I've explored, are really nice. I agree with that.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask you about, you know, maybe to say something extra about the winery, since you've done exploration about it. Maybe this is a little... divergence from our conversation here.
Little
so
plug
far,
but, for my, you know, Instagram page, maybe.
Yeah, but you know, you have done a little bit more like investigation of the wine culture here.
So this is something that I've been wanting to do for a while for my Instagram page called Learning Serbia. It's something that I just started to actually get myself exploring, you know, get out of the house, because we expats sometimes easily just settle down and do nothing and just be comfortable in our own corners. So recently I did a road trip I guess, around series of road trips. Evan was very good in taking care of our kids while we did. I did that with my friend. And we explored a few wineries, mainly right outside of Belgrade, about an hour, 2 hours max. But we also went all the way to Negotin and down to Niš to see some wineries. And I specifically visited wineries that had restaurants because, again, I'm a foodie. I need to eat too. And I just was amazed at how many wineries there are in general. You know, once I started making lists, I was like, there's no way I can see all of them. Yep. And so that's why I had to narrow it down. And I thought, okay, just wineries with restaurants, restaurants that are open all year round, because there are some that restaurants open only in the warm seasons. And whenever I called them, they were kind of like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, yeah, we only open in the summer.
In February.
I recommend it to everyone. It's really a fun way of exploring Serbia. You always get lots of stories about where the grapes have come from and the history of wineries, which also kind of mixes well together with history of, you know, Serbia and Yugoslavia, etc. So that was a really, really fun trip.
Can you name your top one or two wine / restaurant?
Yes, of course. Okay, so, this is hard. Okay, right outside of Belgrade, I would say my top one would be Tarpoš Winery, which is an hour away. It's in Aranjelovac. It has a beautiful restaurant with a beautiful view, and the food is really nice. And Tarpoš Winery is very, very old, and only recently they're starting to really change their looks and ways. The wine itself, I guess, had a history of kind of the quality going down, but now they're trying to really work hard on bringing the quality back up. But just the vibe there, you go to the restaurant and it's really nice and comforting and pleasant. Another one that I love.
Where do we go with the apples?
Oh, yes, that's the one I was trying to remember. Diorich. Yes, Diorich Winery, which used to be and is still an apple production company, actually. They're well known for their cold-pressed apple juices, which we've gotten many times. Great. And they do other juices as well. But in recently, I think a few, you know, 5-6 years ago, they started, no, maybe more than that. But really, in the recent years, they've started making wine, and their wine is really great. Mm-hmm. Their bubbly wine, which is titled The.
Te.
Oh, is it Te? It's T-H-E.
I don't know. Good question. Te.
It's the. T-H-E, and it's actually really nice. It's a bit spendy,
Is. They told us it's made with the champagne method.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They actually, you know, they turn the bottle. It's done in the champagne.
Right,
method.
I see.
You can't call it champagne.
It's really quality wine, quality service at the restaurant, and great food too.
Beautiful place.
Very
beautiful spot.
Yeah. So you get kind of winery, good food, but also you get these juices that are amazing. So kind of satisfies your kids as well. And actually, a lot of people go there for their apple pies. It's like, I forgot the name of it, but it's like,
yeah, that was
lazy
good.
Apple pie or something like that. Translated in Serbian, it's so good.
Diorich,
I would go back there.
Diorich is not sponsoring this podcast, but then again, if they hear this,
we are sponsoring Diorich.
I think we should throw a shout out to Maurer up on the border, Hungarian border, which is really right outside of Subotica, which you took us to, and it's, I guess, the most famous, like, fully organic wine with basically absolutely no additives whatsoever. No,
yeah,
phosphates,
very
nothing.
Little, very little amount.
Very family oriented, and the food that we had there was wonderful. I don't know if they're still doing that.
It's, you know, like, I recently, yeah, I recently contacted them. I think they're only catering to kind of large groups right now, but, you know, don't take my word for it. Contact them. Their winery is Maurer. And the thing that is amazing about this place is, right, it's stone throw away from the border with Hungary. Yeah. And it's this area where they don't even really speak Serbian that much, which is really interesting. I thought it was an amazing kind of like buffer zone. And but they're, you know, Serbian winery, they're in Serbia, and it's a family-run winery, like you said. They have a lot of collaboration with well-known winemakers like in France, and they're actually well-known around Europe for the quality of their organic winery. And they're sometimes, the owner right now, his name's Oscar Maurer, he's sometimes...
super gentleman.
An amazing person, but also credited for perhaps saving the grape Kadarka.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a old grape. And I recently actually learned that they have in Romania also, and they call it Kadarka or something like that. Yeah. It's the same. Wow. And they also, some winery there also saved it. So anyway, it's a very difficult wine, but yields really rich, full-bodied wine, I guess. I mean, difficult grape to grow, but wine is amazing, and he has one bottle from it that is well-known. But it's not just that. It's just, you know, the whole thing is very charming. It's a family-run. You have this personal touch to wines absolutely. That you drink there.
Yeah. Yeah, and just a shout out also to one of my first podcast guests, Georgia Bukitsky, who also does natural wines and orange wines, and his I think his popularity is growing as well.
Yes, I'm drinking Serbia. His what is this called?
It's his it's named for one of his daughters. It's the sweet, it's the dessert sweet white wine. I forget the name of it, but if you look it up, it comes in a small bottle.
Oh my gosh.
It's all right. You can't remember everything. But it is, yeah, it's a nice
Akana.
One. Ah, there you go.
Yes.
Well done.
Okay. I love this. I'm not a big sweet wine fan, but this one is very nice. I mean, I just love all of their things. Nadia, their rosé is my favorite, one of my favorites.
All right. So we just had a little digression into the wine, but maybe we'll, should we turn over to things we won't miss about Serbia? Just so that
I
we
do have
are
one
fair.
More.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, please.
I'm actually going to miss the language, Serbian language.
Mm.
Yes, I had to think about this. I
možemo samo na srpskom.
Shout out to our teacher, Tiana. She did a great job and just not only teaching us Serbian, kind of a conversational level. We didn't do our homework a lot of time, but we did all right.
I did my homework. You didn't do your homework, but that's okay.
Well, I was able to go to Kalinic and buy what I want, and that's all I wanted. Really. And, you know, but I'm going to miss it because it has so much character. And I, you know, we've learned many languages, and we know Russian, which is, it's similar to Turkmen. It has a lot of Turkic maybe that's why I like it, because it kind of combines a lot of languages we know. Yeah, but the language itself has a lot of character. You kind of learn a lot more about the culture just by the way things are expressed.
Like,
jebote pičku materin. No. Oh my gosh, I can't believe
I'll be saying that on the tennis court in the United States. Nobody will, well, very few people okay. know what I mean.
But, you know, to your credit, I have to say, wasn't it like one of the first videos we pulled up for looking for, like, you know, Serbian phrases? And one of the videos was this guy who was like deliberately teaching like
the swearing,
Serbian swears. And it was hilarious. Well, the thing is, the swear is kind of part of the culture. Yeah. Everyone says it in front of their kids, young, old, all kinds, you know, and that's kind of funny and cute. I really like, you know, samo polako. I love that phrase. You know, just take it easy. It's kind of, I think, speaks to the culture, perhaps.
And all the kind of ajde, evo, like there's all these like kind of expressive
bre,
all these like sort of extra expressions that become part of like the way that people converse. I think it's you probably can notice this in a lot of languages, but I agree, Serbian seems to have a lot more of those. What I consider like lubricants, like they're like speech lubricants. You know, they're like the way that you say, the way that you get people to kind of hear you out and say things. I think English has a lot of them too, but Serbian for me also Serbian has a lot
Serbian might
of those,
have...
Including the swears, I mean.
Yeah, including the swears, which I never got to. Maybe I have to come back to really fully be comfortable with that. But
I find that I use the swear, like I use Russian swears when I'm playing tennis so that I feel like people won't be offended. And then when we go to the U.S., maybe I'll switch to swearing in Serbian so that I don't sound like a bad sport on the tennis court.
It's like people around the world swear in English because it's not as, you know, sharp or whatever. It's just like fun to say the fuck you and not feel like you're gonna actually hurt somebody's feelings. Yeah, it creates a distance between you and the actual situation. But you know, I'm gonna miss going out there and trying my best and then people saying, you know what, your Serbian is awesome.
or saying, what the hell are you saying?
No, I always gaze.
What I love is when I'm speaking Serbian and I'm with another Serb and then the person I'm talking to just turns to him or her and says, what did he just say? I'm like, shit, man, I just said a whole bunch of stuff. And now,
I never get that.
Yeah, I get that. And I'm like, look, I just said a bunch of stuff. And they're like, what the hell did he just say? I'm like, all right, let's try this.
I always get your Serbian is beautiful. Wow. So I'm like, I'm going to miss that.
that's something. All right, we're turning to things that we won't miss because we're coming up on we're over our half an hour mark here. And we want to be brief. All right, well, I think this one's going to be, this is a layup. And you will totally agree with me. And we should say it. We should say it together. Ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Smoking inside. I won't say smoking in general anymore, but inside.
I mean, absolutely. Like, I don't care if people smoke. I used to smoke.
Right.
But
I started smoking. Yeah.
Well, this is a good place to do it. The smoking inside is just not okay anymore, people. I don't care. I know. And I, you know, if you're listening to this and you're Serbian and you're like, you know what? You just don't get it. I'll just be like, no, you don't get it. I'm going to say it right now. We've lived in a lot of places where everybody smoked their faces off all the time. And then they shut it down inside. And then people complained for about 4 months. And then everybody forgot about it. And then your clothes smelled normal when you came home from the bar.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's, sometimes we go to a restaurant with our kids and they literally can't eat and they can't relax. We kind of got used to it at some point, but it's hard for them to just relax and eat. And our, you know, kids are a little bit sensitive with the smell too, but it's just harmful for the kids, of course. But I have to say, just since I've been here, I know at least two people who've stopped smoking who are Serbian and who were also on the other side saying, no, this is fine. And then now that they've stopped, they also agree, you know, we shouldn't be smoking inside, you know, go outside. It's fine, but not inside at least. I love how we go to a restaurant and you're like, hey, can I sit in a non-smoking? And it's like literally the other side of that, the building. And it's like, okay.
Right. It's like the smoking section in the airplanes like 30 years ago, or like you're one row behind the smoking section. Like, it really helps. So, the smoking thing, like, hands down, totally got to get rid of it. All right, do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. All right. So, honking of the cars. Horn honking. It's kind of crazy how fast people honk their horns here in the car. I mean, you'll be waiting at the light and right at the second it turns green, you get
or
honking behind. No, like you're
waiting.
Turns,
you know,
it's red.
Yellow. No, but it turns yellow before it turns green too. It goes red, yellow.
It's
and
like
then during
boom.
That,
Immediately, you're like about to go, but you're already hearing honking. I mean, I can kind of get it. A lot of people sit on their phones and they don't know that it's green now, but you get this all the time. And I'm actually generally speaking, not really bothered by road rage that much, but that kind of gets me every time. And maybe I'm just going to miss the entertainment of it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll miss that. I agree with you on that. And I should say we didn't caveat this whole part of the discussion, but we're kind of staying politics out of it for this discussion because we're talking more about lifestyle here rather than talking about politics. And obviously the politics are challenging here in Serbia as they are in many places, especially now. I won't miss the politics here and let's say the way things are moving politically here. But then again, I probably won't. It's not a respite when you go back to the U.S. There's plenty of problems with the politics there. So
I just feel like, oh, who the heck am I? Really, I'm a foreigner here.
Who the heck am I? But we go. Yeah. We live in places, and you start to, you know, understand what's going on. At least
it's
I have. And I've, you know, I it saddens me to see things moving in a political direction that I, you know, I think. Aren't beneficial for it's not even necessarily if it's something that I agree with, but it's something that I don't think is best for the country over time. But you're right, we're foreigners. We live
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, where we're going is not awesome either. So
no, that's what I'm saying. So
everywhere.
I was putting that.
Yeah,
that was a caveat.
Go next,
but
next.
I just wanted to, just in case anybody's sitting there
don't
going,
"Why
say are you
anything
about
it?"
That?
But
I'll say 10 minutes about it anyway. All right. So the thing then, let's get to like more smaller matters, but. Obviously, this is also car related, but traffic, but more importantly, parking in Belgrade and frankly, in other places in Serbia, other cities in Serbia, the parking situation is atrocious. And it's we know partly why, because the cities were designed at a time when there are much fewer cars.
Mm-hmm.
We're from around Boston area and they have similar problems.
Yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be a concerted effort to try to fix that where there's now so many cars and there's no place to park.
Well, Galleria has free parking.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the Galleria Mall on, on Waterfront, you're fine. But if you want to go to Dorchel or Vrachar,
yeah,
good luck with that. And then, of course, parking on sidewalks. I won't miss that. And this is not just Serbia. We lived in Moldova before. Parking on sidewalks was also a challenge. But parking on sidewalks, no bueno.
No, I mean, unfortunately, I have done it myself too, because then you can't find anything. But I have seen so many times old women and men would just like hit with their sticks the cars that are...
Good for them.
Yes. I've seen that a couple of times and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go move somewhere else. I'm going to park somewhere. But they are absolutely right. I mean, people with strollers, that's my worry all the time.
Think about the baby.
Yeah. So whenever I have no other option but do it on the side, I'm always thinking, okay, can a stroller go there on the side or not? If not, I'm going to go find another one. I mean, it's just there's no options here, and hopefully there will be more and more.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
yeah,
when you do, you know, if you go to Rajčeva parking lot, which we do when we go to Dorchel because my office is right down there, you know, they're charging significant rates, like there's money in parking. So
yeah,
I hope that that developers start to see that maybe investing in some like parking facilities.
I mean, a lot of cities in the U.S. make lots of money.
Yeah,
that.
You can, you know, if I were going to build something in Belgrade, I'd build a parking lot.
Yeah, several.
Yeah.
I mean, there are more and more cars here, and understandable. I mean, infrastructure. While we're at it,
yeah.
There should be more, you know, trains and buses. Of course, people would probably rather take buses in such a small area, city, but yeah.
Your turn.
All right. My last one is, I will not miss fireworks in the neighborhood or in your building right outside.
From your neighbor downstairs.
Yes, at their birthdays in the middle of the night.
I
not
agree.
Gonna miss that.
Yeah, fireworks should not be shot near buildings willy-nilly, as they say, whenever you want.
When everyone is drunk.
Yeah, when everybody else is sleeping or thought they were. Yes, I won't miss that. And my last one is, and this is something that, you know, it's serious too, and I know I'm not alone in this, is the air quality issues. And it's not just in Belgrade, but Belgrade is quite bad. The air quality, I remember, especially before COVID, where you'd look and we would be in the top five in the world with the air quality, how bad the air quality was. Let's say bottom five, I should say, not top five. We'd be up there with like places in India and China. And
surprising, but
I mean, it's obviously the coal, you know, it's not the cars, it's the coal burning still, and other issues. And there's also meteorological issues, I think, that exacerbated.
Exactly.
But yeah, the air quality, we were, and before COVID, that was like our main concern, remember?
Yes.
Like, oh,
I was going around with a scarf around my nose sometimes, you know, and then of course masks were just normal. Now I guess sometimes when it's bad, you can just wear a mask.
Yeah. So actually it seems the air quality has seemed to trend better since COVID sort of has, let's say, waned or dissipated. But obviously it's a concern, and it's a concern all over Serbia. And I know that there's an environmental movement kind of growing, or at least this environmental sense growing, which I think is a good thing to see, because nobody wants to live in with bad air.
No. Do we have time to add one more thing?
Yeah, you can add.
This is not something I'll miss or I don't miss. It's something I wish I did.
Yeah.
In here. And that is actually food related again. I really wish I had seen how Ivar is made and recorded it and learned it. Because, you know, we didn't mention this, but Ivar and Kaimak is definitely going to be missed.
Ivar was going to be one of my missed things.
Yeah. I mean, just a lot of food in general, but Ivar and Kaimak. And I just wish that, you know, it was such a culture that everyone was making Ivar. And I definitely had a lot of, you know, invitations. I just never could make them. And I really, really, that's one thing I regret I didn't do. Maybe I'll come back for it.
No, it's good. That's a good way to turn from the negative note back to a positive as well. And I definitely will miss Ivar, and I think I'll be stuffing about 5 jars of it in my suitcase.
Absolutely.
But overall, notwithstanding the fact that we ended with the things we won't miss, I think overall, I think we've had a pretty good time living here for the last 4 years. Our kids have obviously grown up a bit. They have good friends, and of all, you know, of Serbian friends, international friends, it's been a good experience for them.
Yes.
I think we'll look back fondly on this time here.
Absolutely. I think we're going to realize how much more we miss than we just talked about. It's such a, you know, I can see why a lot of foreigners come here, fall in love and stay here.
Yeah,
it's a really nice place to
definitely
stay.
Of all the places we've lived, this is the place where we find people who, expats who come and stay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see why. Well, thank you very much for joining me on this.
Thank
final
you for
episode.
Having me.
You've made it a lot more interesting, and I think if this is indeed the final episode, this was fitting. But maybe we'll think of something a few months down the road and be able to come back and think
lost
about,
and found in the world.
Yeah, lost and found in the world. But also, now that we've left Serbia, you know what do we really?
Oh, now that we've left Serbia, yeah, that's a nice one.
But thank you for joining me. And
thank you for having me.
And thank you for doing this cross-platform podcast. And thank you all for listening.
Vidimo se.
Yeah, vidimo se. And thank you for those who have listened to Lost and Found in Serbia over the last couple of years. Really appreciate the listenership. And definitely pass on not only the other episodes to anyone interested, but also globallady.com, Fortaus's website, which will deal with issues for all international type folks roaming the planet.
Yeah, check it out. It's about, you know, what it means to be a global person, not to feel like you belong to one place, and just all the things that go through your mind when you're a multicultural global citizen, but, you know, especially if you're a lady.
Ciao svima. Hvala, doviđenje.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lost and Found in Serbia. I hope you come again. I would also invite you to peruse the other offerings that are available on the podcast.rs platform, which is the premier platform for podcasting in Serbia. I'm Evan Trace, and see you next time.